CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying right here because NASA's Inspector General is busy. And Bob Zimmerman is here from Behind the Black to give us a summary of what the IG has discovered. Bob, a very good evening to you. My memory is that the IG has been unhappy with NASA's spending over the years. Has it improved?
This is a specific thing. We're not talking about NASA spending. We're talking NASA spending in a particular program. And your memory is correct if you think about this particular program. And what's that particular program? I'm sure your audience can all say it together all at the same time. SLS and Orion. AG has released another report mentioning, oh, by the way, there are gigantic new cost overruns and mismanagement in the SLS Orion program managed by Marshall Space Flight Center. It appears they're pointing out how Marshall on this particular program issues cost-plus contracts. These are contracts whereby NASA takes on any cost increase and then gives the company a small percentage above that as a profit. So whatever cost increases occur, the government taxpayer has to pick it up. And that only encourages the contractors, which are mostly Lockheed Martin and Boeing, to pile on. There's no reason for them to keep a tight rein on budget because any additional expense the government has to pick up. And so, and then on top of the Marshall Space Flight Center, management has been incompetent and inexperienced. They have allowed contractors to go months and months and months over schedule, and they've even themselves been late on paperwork beyond their own regulations. In other words, they don't fulfill out paperwork on timely basis, even though the regulations say they had to. The thing that's funny about this report, John, is as you noticed, there's nothing new here. There's no news. This is not a surprise. This is just par for the course. We have to remember that these budget overruns and schedule delays are not a bug of the program, but a feature. The goal of SLS and Orion is not to build a rocket to explore the solar system. Its goal is to create an endless jobs program in congressional districts here on Earth. And because of that, nothing gets accomplished. And meanwhile, all that money gets wasted. It could be used instead to maybe develop a viable space effort in an aerospace industry, because the money could be used better if you jumpstart new competitive companies.
Let's go to Northrop Grumman. Let's get away from NASA. It's bad karma, Bob. Northrop Grumman has a new contract for Space Force. What are they building?
They're building a small satellite. Actually, Northrop Grumman's not building the satellite. Northrop Grumman got a contract for $45.6 million to launch a small sat weather satellite.
It's already built. I understand.
Yeah, well, it's being built. And what's interesting about this is multiple. One, Northrop Grumman is going to use its Minotaur 4 rocket, which is formerly a military ICBM. There had been court cases trying to block them from doing so, but those court cases have gone away. Secondly, the price, $45.6 million to launch a satellite, that actually shows us a good indication of how the launch prices have dropped. There would never have been a launch under $100 million before SpaceX showed up. Third, the satellite itself. The government has been pushing very hard to get the military to stop building these really expensive, overweight, SLS-type weather satellites that are always behind schedule and are very few, which means there's no redundancy. Instead, they're trying to get the military to follow NASA and become a customer, buy it from the private sector. And that was one of the reasons they created the Space Force, because the Space Force was focused on this kind of thing, and it would isolate it from the factions within the military that simply want to build big stuff and waste money. So the Space Force issued this contract not only to Northrop Grumman, but to General Atomics to build this small weather satellite. To buy a weather satellite from the private sector. It's also got a contract with another company, Orion Space Systems, to build a weather satellite in orbit. And these two weather satellites are basically test prototypes for future weather satellites for the military coming from the private sector. And this is all a good thing from all aspects. It shows how competition and private enterprise can really provide better results for the government. And it illustrates why we're wasting a lot of money with SLS.
Complicated story, Bob. I hope you can unpack it. ULA, Blue Origin, and the Vulcan rocket with an accident. But it's not a clear story for me to tell, so I turn it over to you.
All right. ULA has been trying to develop a new rocket called the Vulcan rocket to replace its Atlas and Delta rockets. And the idea was to come up with a rocket that would be cheaper to launch, cheaper to maintain, cheaper to put together, and therefore compete better with SpaceX. Now, Vulcan is not reusable, but still, it would be cheaper to operate, and the military wants a second rocket anyway, so even if it's more expensive, they'll be happy to pay the extra bucks. Well, Vulcan is now 3 to 4 years behind schedule because the engines it was going to use in its first stage and is using in its first stage are engines being built by Blue Origin, that's Jeff Bezos' company, called the BE-4 engine. That engine is years behind schedule. They finally delivered 2 flight-worthy engines to ULA last year, and ULA has now put them in the rocket and is now beginning to get ready for a June launch of that first launch of that rocket in June. Well, and as part of the prep work for that, they rolled the rocket out to the launch pad and did a dress rehearsal countdown, intending to go to actual T-0, where they'd launch the they'd fire the engines for a few seconds and then shut it down. Basically a static fire test, same thing that SpaceX does before every launch to make sure everything's working. Here's where the problem is. They had to abort that test launch this week. They got close to the T-0, but then the, quote, observed a delayed response from the booster engine ignition system, the engine. This is the BE-4 engine again. And so they had to abort the test. They're going to roll the rocket back into the assembly building to try to figure out what was wrong, fix it. Then they're going to have to roll it back to the launch pad and do another static fire test countdown. This suggests that the launch in June is probably not going to happen because after they've done this static fire test, they've then got to roll the thing back to the assembly building to attach the solid fuels boosters that go on each side and then also put the payloads on the top. Now, you know, these kind of problems are not unexpected for the first launch of a rocket when you finally get the rocket put together. What ULA now is paying for is the 3-plus-year delay that was imposed on it by Blue Origin's inability to get the BE-4 engine delivered. And my fear is that because they're so far behind because of Blue Origin, the engineers at ULA will hurry things now when they should take care in this first launch to get everything right. They say they're trying to get everything right, and actually they have a good track record, but that's the fear. And then once again, they're paying for Blue Origin's failures here.
Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter discovered the crash site of Hokuto R1 in pieces, and now the iSpace company that launched Hokuto R1 has come forward with an explanation. How so, Bob?
Yes, there was the data coming down when this thing tried to land was very puzzling. It seemed to suggest that it reached the landing speed right above the surface and would touch down, but then it didn't, and they lost communications. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter images suggested it had broken into pieces when it hit the surface, which means it hit hard. The investigation now reveals that the spacecraft did reach the less than 1 meter per second speed that it was supposed to be at when it hit the surface. The trouble is it did so still 5 kilometers above the ground because the software got confused as it flew over the rim of Atlas Crater where it was going to land, and therefore started to give incorrect altitude data to the spacecraft. So when it reached its landing speed, it was still so high up that it continued to fire its engines at that slow speed as it descended very slowly until it ran out of fuel and it was still high in the air, so it came to the ground in a crash. They're going to, of course, rework the software now. They didn't know what the problem is, and they will try again. They have a second Hokuto R2 mission that's planned already for, like, I think next year or shortly thereafter. And they will incorporate this fix in that spacecraft, John.
And, Bob, the crash was itself disappointing, but they deserve a great deal of attention. This was an attempt by a private company to land a rover, correct?
Yes, I'm glad you're focusing on that, John. It's really true. This was an engineering test mission for a private company who built a private lander totally from private funds with private payloads, sometimes government payloads, but customers on board the lander. And they had 10 mission goals, all engineering related, They achieved 8 of them, which included launch, control of travel to the moon, operations in lunar orbit, and then the last two was the landing operation, the landing, and then the operation on the moon. They didn't get those last two achieved, but they got everything else achieved, so they're in good standing to make that first landing on the moon with payloads down the road. They definitely are.
Nova Scotia has a spaceport. Did I know this, Bob?
Yes, you did. We've talked about it, but nothing has happened yet to really firm it into the mind. Maritime Launch Services is a company that has leased land in Nova Scotia to build a spaceport, but they're doing things a little different than all the other spaceports. They're not just simply providing a spaceport for other rocket companies to use. They're actually tied in with contracts with two other startup rocket companies. A company in Ukraine that's building a Cyclone 4M rocket that has launched in the past, and a British startup called Skyrora. And what the idea is that Maritime Launch Services will offer the rocket and the launch pad to satellite companies. So instead of going to rocket companies to get them to launch, this rocket system and spaceport will offer the launch facilities to satellites. And what has happened is that they have obtained a $1 billion contract from an unnamed European orbital tug company to use this system to launch satellites, up to 20 satellites over the next few years. They did not mention in their press release the name of that orbital tug company, but there's really only two in Europe that this could apply to. One is called Deorbit and the other is Exolaunch, both of which have flown missions. And so one of those companies has hired Nova Scotia's airport, spaceport, to fly future satellites. I should point out that Exolaunch, one of those two orbital tug companies, had a contract with Virgin Orbit to launch as many as 20 of its satellites. This announcement comes one day after Virgin Orbit's assets was sold off, so it suggests Exolaunch has switched companies there, John.
This story is really cool. Two private companies, Relativity and Impulse, bound for Mars, but there's a game here. What is it?
They're teaming up, and they're teaming up with a third company as well. It's really complicated. But they want to go to Mars. So they are teaming up to build a private mission to go to Mars. They've announced this previously, but now they've delayed their first launch. They originally were targeting the 24 launch window. They've now admitted they can't make that, so they're aiming for the 26 launch window. Relativity would provide the rocket. Hasn't launched its rocket yet. And Impulse will provide the lander and spacecraft. Impulse is one of those companies I mentioned previously in this report. It builds orbital tugs in orbit, and so it's got specialty in how to do propulsion and control the spacecraft, but it's a startup. It hasn't done a lot of work yet. So both these companies are pushing the envelope in trying to build a Mars lander. It's mostly public relations. If they succeed, great, but I think more important, they're demonstrating their willingness to push that envelope.
Bob, what I like is your analysis. It says that they are showing up, and when NASA gets around to hiring people for Mars probes, they'll be in line. That's smart.
That's correct.
Yes, that's smart.
Correct. All these companies are doing these exact same things, John. Yeah, let's go to another one. This has to do with another satellite fueling
Orbit
company.
Orbit Fab, yes.
Orbit Fab has signed Impulse. That's one of the two companies that's going to Mars with Relativity. Orbit Fab has a refueling depot it wants to put up in space. It has signed Impulse to provide the tug to move that orbital depot around. And they're going to team up for a demo mission and a contract that the Space Force has given them, in which a third private company, Orion Space Systems, is going to build some geosynchronous satellites, which would be used, three satellites, to be used to test this refueling system. So here we got a situation where three different private companies are providing services to the Space Force, but they're also developing technology that every other satellite country in the world will want. If it works, then what Orbit Fab will do is it will be selling basically a refueling port, a standardized refueling port that they have developed for their refueling depot. And satellite companies will start buying it if this works.
Virgin Orbit, rest in peace. What's happened, Bob?
Yes, the bankruptcy of Virgin Orbit did not result in a single buyer that would keep the company whole. So instead, the company is dead. The assets were purchased by a variety of different companies, most of which was Rocket Lab and Stratolaunch. Rocket Lab bought a lot of the main manufacturing facilities and its headquarters, leased it essentially, bought the lease. And Stratolaunch purchased Virgin Orbit 747 airplane and all the related equipment. A third company, Launcher, purchased some other material, its test, the lease for its test site at Mojave. So this company is basically dead. And I want to emphasize something that no other news sources are doing, and it's really important. The reason this company died was because of regulatory delays in the United Kingdom. They definitely had large bills in their asset sheets that they had to pay for. But they had plans to do launches last year and bring in revenue, and it would have covered their expenses and kept them operating so that they could maybe pay all their bills. But for more, almost a half a year, they waited to launch because the United Kingdom could not issue a permit. And during that time, they could make no other money, and they basically ran out of
money. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.